a new year. We wish one another a happy new year. And we have hopes for the coming year, and we know that others have hopes for this year as well. And we would like to see our hopes being fulfilled in 2012. It is a time when we can look forward with anticipation about what is going to come in this year. But there are many who think that 2012 is not going to be a happy year. According to most economists, 2012 is predicted to be a gloomy year. Headlines say it is the toughest employment market for 20 years and that it isn't going to get easier in 2012. Analysts say that our economy is on the brink of recession again. The Bible gives us teaching about living in difficult circumstances. The Apostle Paul was one who especially had to endure difficult times. And adding to those difficulties was this fact that there were many churches who were not willing to help him. Even though he was an apostle, even though he was set apart by God for this work of planting churches and building up the church and preaching the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not all churches were willing to help him. This was compounding the difficulties that he faced. He says that when he left Macedonia to begin the mission of spreading the good news of the gospel, the Philippian church was the only church that helped him. No other churches helped. There can be hard times and life in life, and being a Christian doesn't necessarily spare us from hard times. It seems that the lack of help which the Apostle Paul received was an especially sore point for him. He says, "No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only, the church in Philippi." And for the Apostle Paul, it would have been an especially sore point because, not so much because of his concern for himself, but because of his concern for those churches. Because Paul is one who has been set apart by God, who has been given revelation by God. And so he has also been given understanding as well about the benefits that there are for the people of God when we share what we have with others, when we share what we have with other Christian believers. This letter is written to the Philippian church, and it is in response to their generous giving. This is a church which has taken the initiative and has helped the Apostle Paul in his time of need. On more than one occasion, time and time again, they kept on coming back to Paul and giving him the things that he needed. In these verses at the end of his letter to them, Paul acknowledges the support that he has been given by the church in Philippi. And he does so in a way which also helps us. It tells the church in Philippi about what the outcome of giving is, what the outcome of sharing is, and because we have it here in our Bibles, it gives us that teaching as well. It teaches us how we can have our needs met in economically difficult times. In verses 11 to 13, he tells us of the secret that he has learned to living happily. The secret that he has learned to living happily. And then in verses 14 to 16, he speaks of the importance of sharing. That part of living with contentment is to share what we have. And then in verses 17 to 19, he, like an accountant, sums it up. He gives a lesson in kingdom economics. He gives a lesson as to how God works and how God totals things up, which is very different from the way in which the world does. And then in verses, the end of the section there, in verse 20, we see that the apostle is led to worship. Having learned to live with contentment and to share possessions, and having learned about how God works in the world, we are then led to worship. So first of all, what is the way of living that Paul has learned? In his life, the Apostle Paul faced many different circumstances. He came from a privileged background and education. He knew what it was to live well. It seems that even in his mission work, there were times when he lived prosperously, where he enjoyed delicious meals, where he enjoyed good fellowship, and where people provided for him in abundance. But in his life, he also faced many difficult circumstances too. There were times when he faced danger and uncertainty. At the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he spoke of the suffering he faced as a missionary. He had been shipwrecked 3 times and beaten. He went hungry and thirsty. He spoke of himself as often going without food, being cold and exposed. When the apostle wrote to the church in Philippi, he was imprisoned. He faced many trials in his life. But in these trials, in the good times and the difficult times, in the prosperous times and in the lean times, there is a way to live where we can find happiness. The apostle has learned to live in whatever situation and to be content. This is a key to godly living. And there are 3 things for us here to see about what the apostle says about being content. First of all, Paul had to learn to be content. Verse 11, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Contentment doesn't come naturally to us. It is something that has to be learned. It is natural for us to want more than what we have. It is natural to be dissatisfied with what we have. How often have we wanted things, and then when we've got them, we don't want them anymore? Even from the earliest age, we can see that the human desire is to want more. Dissatisfaction comes naturally to the sinful human heart. Contentment, therefore, which is a virtue, it is good, it is a gift from the Lord. It is something that has to be learned. It is a lesson that God teaches us. Paul himself had to learn to be content. Just because he was an apostle didn't mean that he was automatically content. He had to learn to be content. And he had to learn to be content because he himself was not content. When Paul speaks about the law in Romans chapter 7, and he speaks about what the law exposed in his heart, it was his lack of contentment that the law revealed to him. What the law exposed was his covetousness. He says in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. The Apostle Paul had to learn to be content. He was not by his own nature content. He had to learn it. Secondly, he learned that he had to be content. He had to be content with what he had in all situations. In whatever situation he faced, he had to be content. God's command is contentment. When John the Baptist preached, he preached that God's command was to be content. He did this in Luke chapter 3, when he commanded soldiers to be content with the wages that they were being paid. The command is also given in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. Paul says in verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. He knows what it is to have little. He also knows what it is to have much. And he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When Paul says this, when Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, he's not speaking about breaking world records. What he's speaking about is that work which God has done in his heart to turn him away from covetousness, from coveting his neighbour's possession. It seemed to the Apostle Paul that this was impossible for him, to not covet his neighbour's possessions. It seemed to him that this was natural for him, that this is just who he is, that this is what God has made him to be. But then when he read the law and he listened to God's command, you shall not covet, he was then convicted of his sin, even though it seemed to be impossible for him to be content and not to covet his neighbour's possessions. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I wonder what lessons we need to be taught in 2012, what needs to change in our hearts, what needs to change in our lives, what sins do we need to turn away from. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It might seem impossible. It might seem that there is no way out of one sin or another. But the Apostle Paul found that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He was able to turn away from that sin of covetousness, and he was able to share what he had with his brothers and his sisters in the Lord. So Paul had to learn to be content, and he had to learn to be content as well. Third, how did Paul do this? How can we learn contentment in the year 2012? Contentment can only be found when our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul said himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, "It is for the sake of Christ I am content. For the sake of Christ I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities." It is only because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is only because of his faith in Christ, that this man, Paul, can be content. And so it is true for us as well. We can only find contentment in our Lord Jesus Christ. We learn from the scriptures that Christ is content. We can be content because Christ is content. Where did our Lord find his contentment? In material possessions? No. He found contentment in doing his Lord's will. It was in doing God's will that Jesus found contentment. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11, it says, "Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied." Our Lord Jesus Christ was satisfied. He is satisfied. And where is that point where Christ found the most satisfaction? It was out of the anguish of his soul. It was when he was on the cross. It was when he died for our sins. That most wondrous work which our Lord did. And we remember every day and every week of our lives as Christian people. It was, yes, even out of Christ's suffering that he found contentment. Contentment is found in doing the Lord's will. If we can learn this, if we can learn to be content, if we can learn to be content, whether we have things or don't have things, then we will be able to do this important work which Paul thanks the Philippians for If we are content, then we will be able to share what we have. We will be able to share what we have with others. Paul commends the Philippian church for this. It seems that they had wanted to help him before, but for one reason or another, it was not possible. But they had not forgotten about the apostle. And so when the time came, they supplied more and more for his needs. This church, having learned contentment, is able to share. Paul had learned contentment in all situations. His being satisfied did not depend on his material possessions. He had learned contentment whether he had or did not have. It is an important thing to share what we have, to share what we have with especially our Christian brothers and sisters. And so we must ask ourselves, are we going to be like the church in Philippi and be willing to share what we have? God has given us much. Are we willing to share it in the year 2012? That will be a test of whether or not we are content, whether or not we are content in the Lord. Are we able to share and to share gladly with those who are in need? And then, having spoken about sharing in verses 14 to 16, the apostle gives us this lesson in kingdom economics. This most wonderful lesson here in verses 17 to 19. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The lesson which Paul teaches the church in Philippi about their giving, and he also teaches us about this as well, is that people who give away, people who give their things away and who share with other people, actually profit themselves from this. In a materialistic culture, we tend to think about what we could do if we were rich, and we think about what we might be able to do if we had this or that or the next thing. But a much greater question, a much more important question, a much more relevant question is this: what are we going to do with what we already have? It's all very well to think about what we might do with things that we don't have, but what are we going to do with the things that we do have? Paul says he does not seek the gift. He is not looking to accumulate for himself. Rather, what Paul is doing is verse 17, seeking the fruit that increases to your credit. What does he mean? What does he mean by this, seeking the fruit that increases to your credit? What he means is that he will use the gift that has been given to him by the church in Philippi, and he will use it for the profit of those who have given it to him. They might not see exactly how it is that Paul uses the finances or how he uses the possessions that the church in Philippi has given to him. But Paul assures them that they will profit from their giving. It is another way of saying what Jesus says, that we are to store our treasures up in heaven. And part of this is giving what we have to the work of the church. financially, yes, but also our time as well, to offer ourselves to the Lord as living sacrifices, to give ourselves to his kingdom work. And there will be profit in this. Paul was not seeking the gift, but the fruit that increases to your credit. That should cause us to think, what are we going to do in 2012? Will we seek the fruit that increases? Yes, increases the credit of other Christian believers. The gift is spoken of in verse 18 as a fragrant offering. It is a sacrifice which is acceptable and pleasing to God. When we give to the Lord's work, he is pleased. He is pleased when we give to him. When we give to the work of the church, it is something that pleases God. When we live for God, it is something that pleases him. Live for the Lord. Provide for the church, and God will be pleased with you, just as he was pleased with the church in Philippi. And in the meantime, the apostle assures the church there that they are not to worry about being provided for themselves. They are giving away. They have less than what they once did because they've been giving their possessions away. But it is the Lord who is sovereign over all, and he will make sure that his people do not go without. My God will supply every need, the apostle says in verse 19. And so, from this wonderful lesson of giving and the fact that God's people profit from giving, the apostle was led to worship, and we are led to worship as well. Having received from the church in Philippi and having considered the way in which God builds up his kingdom, he says in verse 20, "To our God the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." The way that God has made the world is glorious. It is glorious the way in which he takes us from trying to build up our own kingdoms to beginning work with his kingdom. He takes us who are not naturally content, and he works in us and makes us content. And when we find contentment, which we do in our Lord Jesus Christ, then this year, in 2012, an economically difficult year, we will be moved to worship God.